Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Anime Lounge Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, alongside with my other host, Lance. And we have Tyler with us. Thank you so much, Tyler, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me back again.
I feel like it's been forever.
It's been a while, that's for sure. Pretty sure the last one I was here for was Thousand Year Blood War Part 2.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that was a while ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's basically the beginning of winter and second winter.
We're saying second winter because this is April and we just got hit with another snowstorm, so
you know, just 12 inches.
God, I think we got like 4 inches out by us, but more people lost power over 4 inches than any other snowstorm we had this year.
Yeah, that was insane. But let's get back into what everybody really enjoys, and that's some talking about some alcohol real fast. Lance, what are you drinking today?
Today, I am going to be drinking some Buchanan Select blended malt scotch whiskey, and I'll be chasing that back with a New Glarus Spotted Cow. Matt, what are you drinking?
I am drinking some Driftless Glen bourbon. Delicious. Mm-hmm. And also throwing that back with a Spotted Cow. Tyler, you're drinking some what for us?
Some high-quality H2O. Hydrating.
Being safe.
Yeah, that's okay. Lance, you want to let our listeners know what we're covering today?
Yes, today we are going to be covering all of Season 1 of Shangri-La Frontier. And the synopsis I have for this is Rokuro Hizutome is a trash gamer, someone who only plays terrible rated games. After finally beating another trash game, Rokuro finally joins the masses and plays the most popular AAA rated game, Shangri-La Frontier. Rokuro names his character Sunraku and quickly gets absorbed into this new world. As he adventures on, he quickly unlocks unique scenarios that both help and hurt him with his level up process. With the help of his gamer friends Oikatsu and Pencilgun, will Sunraku uncover the truth of this world? And that's what I wrote for today.
Nice. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I kind of wrote that last part, uncover the truth of this world, really specifically because on the final episode, they said it like 10 fucking times at the end. So I'm like, okay, well, clearly uncovering the truth of this world is very important.
Yes. And Lance, you also want to hit us up with that Lance's lesson?
Today's Lance's Lessons is going to be the Japanese word for bird. And that is Tori. Tori is spelt T-O-R-I. And Tori is relevant to today's episode because Sunraku runs around in a bird mask. And all the bunnies like to call him Birdman too. So, bird, Tori. We're going to go with some Tori today.
Who's the rapper they called Birdman? Was that Lil Wayne?
There's not actually a rapper
called Birdman. Was it really?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was a nickname. It shows how much I know. Damn.
All right, according to Google, Birdman is a rapper, Brian Christopher Williams.
Sure.
Born in 1969, better known by his stage name Birdman, or Baby. He's an American rapper. Okay, he's old.
All right, well, can't make any reference jokes about that one, so we're just going to continue.
And for everybody's interest, please stay tuned until the end of the episode, because I would like to give a random-ass Pokemon quiz, and if you guys are interested in that, you'll see it at the end.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll continue. And before we get into any anime talk, Matt has some Matt Manga mentions for us today.
Nani? Bankai!
Yeah, I feel like it's been forever since we covered anything with a manga. It's nice. I missed it. For anybody who wants to start where season 2 will be, I suggest starting on chapter 59. All of season 1 covered episode or chapter 1 through chapter 58. The thinking behind why Rokuro went with luck is because he knew criticals and drop rates were very low in the game, like in the game matrix. So that's why he picked luck to be one of his major stats.
Okay.
Because he figured a lot of people aren't going to do that, so he's like, "Well, let me be different." The first time you see that computer, you remember, I think it was like episode 3 or 4, something like that. There's just that room and then there's the computer going in.
Oh, where we eventually see the three higher ups.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So the first time in the manga, there's actually somebody sitting there in that chair.
Oh, okay.
Watching. So Yeah. Just
overseeing everything at all times?
Yes. And it's actually a woman, blonde hair.
Okay.
That's all you know.
Literally, okay.
Don't know anything else.
I would assume they make reference to...
It is not the two that you see later on in the season.
Right. Well, I was going to say, they make reference to someone and her husband.
Mm.
So I don't remember exactly. I don't think they gave a name, but they make it very clear that there's a woman and a man.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I'll bring that up again in the future. But I would assume if you're saying this, it's going to be that woman.
That would make sense. You see the online thread talking about Sunraku and Emil before Third Town, because you can read it much easier in the manga for the 10 fights that Sunraku has to make before the... Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank on what the last guy is, but he's
a wood sorcerer.
Yeah, that guy. So for all the attempts, you have 7 attempts for the Packhounds, 4 attempts for the tentacle thing, 2 for the Berserk Goblins, 1 for the Dinobor, 112 times against the Toxic Bird.
That Poop Bird got him over 100 times?
112 Jeez. Times.
And they did state that in the anime, by the
way. They did, but it was just like, here's a second, especially towards the end, except for the Poop Bird. I know for a fact they make mention of that one. The Armored Larva was once, the Twin-Headed Tigers was twice, and then the Golem took him 7 times. The Boss Bunny, I'm drawing a blank on what his name is. I didn't write it down.
Visage.
But yeah. So he's actually singing a song. Like I was trying to listen to it again, and it kind of sounds like he's just kind of mumbling to himself.
Oh, no, he
sings. Okay.
It's his words. And even in that, the post-credit, the SLF mini.
Yeah.
And they're replaying it. It's like he screen captured that whole scene.
Yeah.
And then Rokuro is playing it for his friends.
Oh, okay. So
they even showed the singing twice. But yeah, he's actually singing.
Okay. Words. Deaf guy can't hear it, apparently. But yes, so you get to see that. You never see Emil trying to be a scarf when Rokuro is meeting with Pentagon and Chuzo.
Oh,
so, no. Yeah, no, she's just like hanging off on the side.
Okay.
And they basically ignore her until the same point in which Pentagon is like getting ready to leave. And then she makes mention of it. It's essentially the same concept, but Emil's just next to him instead of wrapped around his neck like a weirdo.
First time I saw that in the anime, I thought he had a swollen neck, because I didn't catch on at first until it panned to the back, and I was like, oh, that explains it.
Katsuo is an archaeologist subclass, which is why he uses whips.
Oh, they actually gave him more of a title?
Yeah.
So he has whips, and he has spirit fists.
Yes. So remember, he's talking about how you can have like subclasses and all this other stuff when he's explaining it to Rokuro?
A little bit.
So his subclass is archaeologist.
Okay, interesting.
And
wasn't that in the anime too? Because I don't remember
that. You do or don't?
I do.
Oh, okay.
It was during the fight with Weathermon.
Okay.
Because he's like, oh, these whips finally come in handy.
Yes. Same concept, but he's just like, oh, I can finally use my subclass of an archaeologist. And
I guess it went a little bit more detailed.
It was just very, this is my subclass. And I finally get to use my whips. Then you don't see Rei. You don't see her, like, struggling to write that letter to Sunraku.
Oh, no.
No.
Does she write the letter?
The letter still happens, but you know nothing about the struggle that it took for her to write this.
Pacing the room, trying to figure out what to do.
No, it's too formal. And then writes the formal one anyways. You don't get to see the fight against Asura Kai. Basically, you see them all, like, preparing to fight, and then it's just all the Weathermon fight.
Oh, so you just have to assume that.
Yeah.
Oh, not the ambush.
Like you see the preparation, like you see them all stage to ambush, but then you don't see the fight of the ambush. You learn that reviving is one of the most expensive items in as far as consumables are concerned, which is pretty common, but they just made mention of it. It took 12 chapters to get through the Weathermon fight.
It was about 3 episodes to get through it in the anime.
Lance and I were talking. It was almost 4 full episodes.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's 15 through 18, was it? 15, yeah. 16, 17, and 18. So 4 full episodes. And then episode 19 opens up with the ending blow to Weathermon, and then the back some story. So the fight itself was 4 actual episodes.
You find that they are 12% complete with SLF, the story.
Okay. Not too surprising when there's 7 colossi and they've only taken care of one.
Yep.
To make sure I'm following, are you saying what's in the anime, not the manga?
No, I'm saying what's in the... So in the manga, they said after the Weathermon fight, they are 12% complete with the story.
They said that in the anime, too.
Did they? Okay,
Also, when it shows the computer again where the chair is empty,
yep.
The first time it did it, it said 0%. After they defeated Weathermon, it literally says 12% on the computer for the download bar.
Apparently,
it did show it in the anime.
I did a terrible for a
simple
time.
Anime, you weren't paying attention.
I guess. So, Sokyo, who is I want to say she's the shorter one. So she's got the crazy hair.
Oh, yeah, Sukuri.
Yes. She's
the one fighting.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's the founder of Utopia, which is the company that made the game.
Yeah, they were kind of talking about, because the other one was like, yeah, you made Weathermon way too strong, so I had to nerf him a little bit. And then they were mad at each other for like, well, you're supposed to be strong. And like, well, you made it too strong. And
Sukuri is the founder of Utopia. So that big building is Utopia.
I didn't think she was the founder of Utopia.
That's what they say, and there might be more than one founder, but they said that she was the founder. Like, when they gave the descriptions of who the characters were, they said Sokyo Sakuri, founder of Utopia. So,
oh, yeah, because in the anime it showed that she was just the developer of Shangri-La.
Yep.
And
so they make
map creator.
So they make mention of that too. And then it's so then the other characters are the other two people that we see are important, but they do make mention that she specifically is the founded Utopia. So basically the overhead of the game.
Okay. I'm glad you said that now, because I would have assumed that blonde figure woman that you were talking about at the beginning,
yep,
who is the wife of another person. If she's kind of secretive, I would assume that she is the top.
Yep.
Still could be, but.
Very well. So Pencilgon lost 40 levels to regain her brooch.
Yep. They were talking about how she had to give up time, and that meant her levels.
Yep. So it was 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Headless Horseman fight was 9 pages. So that one was super short.
So a little off topic.
Nope.
How much did she lose for getting killed?
So she lost money. She lost.
Because yeah. Where were all her sources of level loss besides the evil eye?
So I think the only. So it was the brooch to pay back for the brooch. And then I think that was really the only time they make mention.
So the brooch she lost levels on too?
So they didn't actually mention that she lost any levels when she was killed. They just said she had to pay a fine.
That was for the scales. No, the scales was...
The scales was a temp increase of levels.
Oh, no, I'm talking about for...
The brooch.
The brooch.
She put the brooch and something else into it, so that, but didn't use it, so she can get a refund after she respawned.
Because mm-hmm.
otherwise it would have been taken. But I thought she only lost 30 levels.
They say 40.
Oikatsu lost 30 levels.
She should have, too. That's why I'm trying to figure out what her other 10 levels...
So they're saying to get her brooch back was 40 levels. I don't know. They didn't mention. So
she would have lost over a total of 70 then.
Probably.
Yeah, because the evil eye takes a level every 30 seconds in the last 15 minutes. So she lost 30 levels just from the evil eye.
Oh, that's right. She also took one.
Yep.
Yeah, she was talking about how she knows what it was made of. And
yeah,
because she knows what it's made of, even though they can't actually taste anything, it still makes her like want a gag.
And then she popped it in her mouth and took off.
Yeah, so okay. Her and
so she lost Oikatsu. Probably about a total of 70 levels.
Yeah. Yep. Sunraku waited for 3 minutes for the scorpions to basically cool down.
Like when he was in his special time?
Yeah, because they were talking, it's like, oh, if I just need to wait. And then you just see him like, okay, it's time. Yeah, it was 3 minutes. Yeah,
it looked like 3 seconds. He's like, nah, I can go on.
Yeah, right? I was really wondering if they were going to play and experiment with the time delay. Yeah. Or not even time delay per se, but like if he was going to be like, well, what if I stay in here for only 5 seconds and he warps back into real time and all the scorpions are still there and they're going to fuck him up. Okay. And then he's like, oh, screw this. And he goes back into his inventory and he sits there for like a minute and then...
Well, he doesn't have MP for that.
That's right. He slowly... drains through it. But, yep, like, he went back a couple of times, and I thought we would get to see him experiment. But, of course, that's needless screen time.
Yep. I feel like you could do that in a manga, but in an anime, you couldn't do that. Mm. They'd be like, what the fuck is this?
You'd have two filler episodes with him figuring out timing.
It would be perfect SLF theater.
That, or it could have just done a simple time skip or narration. Like, oh, well, I found out the best time for me to warp back.
Doing it for like 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden it just skips. We're like, all right, 3 minutes. That's what we need.
That's the sweet spot.
And then the RNG, so the random number generator goddess, she's actually flipping you off when she's talking. Okay, so I missed that part too. Apparently, missed a whole bunch.
I was gonna say that's in the anime too, because it blurs. Blurs it.
That's what it is. So yes,
because he's cursing her, and she's like.
For people who can't see, Tyler flipped us off. So it's that does actually happen in the manga. That's what I was right. That's what I wrote it down for. It's because it does actually happen, and it was funny.
All right, so not too many changes going on,
especially for a 24 episode series. Mm-hmm. No, that basically nothing. In all actuality, nothing really.
Yeah, today's anime, they're staying right on par with everything that's coming out.
Yeah,
especially the popular stuff. All right, so that was interesting enough. So after we do this, let's just jump into some character talk. Tyler, did you come out with a favorite character?
Obviously, it's going to be Weathermon.
Oh, you're going straight
obviously,
for Weathermon.
Obviously.
Just how his character build is, and just in general, like the whole story behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I don't know if impactful is the right word, but it helped draw people into that scenario, just to that fight alone.
Okay.
And I love his character design. Yeah. I play a game called Smite, and there's a character called Susanoo who has a sword, and he's got a cosmetic just like that. And it reminded me a lot of that.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Yeah, he was a really good character. I definitely would not have picked him for a favorite, but yeah, no. Good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Lance, what about you?
I think Sunraku, he's really cool and all, but
okay,
I kind of wanted to go with Oikatsu.
Oikatsu? Okay.
Oikatsu is funny. There is going to be some pull from Reincarnated as a Slime. It's just, he's just got a really fun English voice. That's really where it comes from. Other than that, he's just a funny, silly character. Like when he's on that horse and he's got all these great sound effects about him being whipped around, and he's doing a fantastic English voice acting job. So I'm going to pull a lot of that from there. And he's just the smart ass. And I really do like the idea of his Spirit Fist too, how he was combining red and black to make crimson, and then yellow thrown in there too for whatever. I can't remember right now, but the three lights into one for the final blow. He's pretty interesting as he is, and he's just fun. So that's why I like him.
Okay. Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely a good one. He's a good character.
What about you, Matt?
I am also not going to pick Rokuro, just because I feel like that'd be a little too obvious. He was definitely the main character. Definitely a great character. I'm going to go with Towa.
Okay, pencil gun.
Yep. I think she was the most relatable of a character, besides, you know, being the like super goddess that her sister thinks of.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you don't want to play the same character every time. Sometimes you just want to be the bad guy. And sometimes you want to help people out. So I think that's a great way to do it. And then the spears were really cool. Like, I loved her abilities, and I thought her fight was great. So,
like, mainly against the Weathermon?
Yeah.
Yeah. The shadow stealing, no, ceiling.
Ceiling, yeah.
Yeah, the ceiling, that's the word. That was a pretty cool idea. I loved it.
Yep. Yeah, then like chopping her arm off to be able to use the sword.
Oh, yeah. She like used her arm. Not that. Like her arm got cut off, and like she caught her own arm.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. And like the first time you see her, you're like, oh, okay, apparently this is going to be the bad guy. And you come to find out, no, it's going to be like his best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a really good character.
She had a lot of growth and development too. Like,
yep.
She no longer wants to be the PKer, and she's actually trying to be good now.
Well, yeah. That's because the game ruined PKing, but yeah.
Yeah, that too.
All right. So for favorite character, I'll switch it up from Weathermon, because I guess that's kind of just like...
Just say you have a second favorite.
So my second favorite would probably be Saigar Zero.
Okay.
Ray.
So I'm curious, is it just Saigar Zero, or is it Ray?
It's Ray in Saigar Zero.
Okay.
Because like, it's more so her personality inside of Saigar Zero.
Yes.
Because she still gets her nervousness when trying to talk to Sunraku.
Yep.
And just all the jitteriness, but then I'll be like, oh, can't do this, and then just turns into a badass that literally everybody in the world fears.
Yes.
Like, it's just, you have two completely different personalities in it, and it's fun to be able to watch her just switch.
Yep.
And then just shit on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the Saiga Zero Pencil Gun fight. I wish that would have been longer.
I wish it was a little longer, too. That negative reversal deal that she was doing, the Satan form.
Yes.
That was a pretty cool concept.
You also got to remember that's a level 30-something getting dumped down by 100. Oh, so yeah, that was not going to, because she lost all her levels at that point.
Yep.
So she was not winning that. Tiger Zero could have walked up to her, flicked her in the face, and sent her flying.
She was still 70 because she hadn't died yet, so she didn't pay the money for her brooch.
She lost the 30 at least.
No, yes. Because she had to store the brooch before she died, but she didn't have time in the fight. She started before they walked out of that cave.
Yes. Yeah, so she had to pay the levels to get it back.
Not to get it back. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that explains. But yeah, but even then, though.
70 versus 99.
That 30-some level difference is huge. Still a big difference.
Yeah.
Do we know for sure what level Saiga Zero is at?
I would assume since she's the attack master,
she's max.
She's got to be max at 100.
Sorry. Yeah. Is there a max?
I don't know if it's 99 or 100, because Pencil Gun showed her level once and it was 99. I don't know if she was like close to hitting 100. I don't know if there is a level max. I never talked about it.
I thought it said 99 plus.
It could be like some games where you hit max level, but then as you level up, you can put it like into skill points and but your level doesn't move.
Yeah. I bet you it's that one where it doesn't actually cap you, but it.
I would say your numbered level is capped at 99 and it goes from there, but that's like a 30. That's a 29 level difference.
But they had weather on it, 250.
I would assume are different. I mean, you look at bosses in some games, even though your level cap will still be higher. They got a
that's true.
Reason to get shit on.
Yeah, so then when they nerf it, when you get it, it makes sense. Like, oh, yeah, this is only level 40. It's like, but he killed me at level 40. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, honestly, all the characters were great, to be completely honest. Like, all these characters were super good.
Yeah, everyone was good. One character I want to talk about real quick is B-Lock, the brown sister bunny.
Yes.
At first, of course, listening to this in English first, her like super New York or Boston accent, whatever one it is, it was super hardcore. And I thought like, oh, they're trying too hard with this character. But then I really grew to appreciate and like that style of a character towards B-Lock.
Yep.
And then because the timing of this episode that we're recording, we had to watch the last couple episodes in Japanese. Even the Japanese voice actor for B-Lock did a fantastic job.
Kind of gangsterous.
A little bit, but the energy that voice actor gave, I thought just was amazing. I think the final two episodes, whatever, there's one moment where B-Lock is freaking out about those crystals.
Yep.
And like, she went into this really high-pitched voice and it didn't sound like a bad kind of recording or anything along those lines. Like, it actually sounded like really fun acting. So I was like, even her Japanese voice is spot on too. Like, so B-Lock's acting in both aspect was really fun, and she's just interesting too.
Honestly, that's probably one huge thing as far as this anime is concerned, is all the characters, either subbed or dub, fit almost perfectly with what you assume the character is going to be.
Yeah, so, that or they just fit really well.
Yeah, like the personalities match with who they have for voice actors. So yeah, I completely agree. B-Lock was a great character. Does SLF change your top 10? Either of you guys? No?
For me personally, no.
Okay.
Maybe come like farther seasons where it's got more bigger things than just one fight.
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like the Lycanroc fight was pretty nice, but it happened so early that it was just a raffle stomp.
Yeah.
Like, if it happened a little later, cool. But to me, I only got excited off that Weathermon fight. It kept me interested. Like, don't get me wrong, it's good and it's enjoyable, but that was like the only fight or only time it actually pulled me into it.
Okay, understand.
That's fair. I do appreciate the introduction of Lycanroc so early into the series to begin with, because that adds the whole level cap in a way. Like, the whole,
it shows that there's something out there that does not care about you and will shit on you because of its level.
That's
it.
I was thinking handicap. Exactly. Like the early handicap.
Like that early handicap showing that there are unique monsters that are deadly by themselves that groups of 20 struggle against.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too off topic, Pin and Lycagon coming in early because I have another question about that.
Okay.
As for your question, top 10, as of right now, I'm not going to consider this in my top 10.
Okay.
It is 100% going to be in a recommended list.
Yes.
But until I see how things conclude a little bit more,
okay,
then I could say that it's going to be in a top 10. Because, okay, like, we still got 6 other Colossi to see.
Yep.
If they're going to be animated and told their story beautifully, and I would like to imagine, actually, I have no idea about Lycagon, how soon I would imagine him being defeated and reversing this curse, or if it's going to, whatever, that's a whole conversation we need to have in a couple minutes.
Yes.
But I just need more story before I consider this top 10.
Okay.
It's up there. It's a great story. It's a great anime. And I definitely, like I said, I 100% recommend this to everybody who likes, yes, action shonen.
Yes. Yeah, I do recommend it as well. Like, it's good. I just need a little bit more for it to break that top. Mm-hmm. Because there are some other animes that have such big story development in shorter episodes.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I think top 10 is probably a little too presumptuous. I like what Tyler said, where it has the potential. It definitely has the potential, mm-hmm, to be in a top 10.
Definitely.
But this is obviously recommendation worthy of an anime. I feel like this is probably gonna get some recommendations for like top anime of the year.
Oh, sure. Yeah, this was just too fun and easy of a watch to not make some kind of list.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, is it in my top 10 list of hilarious animes? Yes. I don't think I've laughed this hard at one-liners in my life.
Yeah.
Like, just how witty they were the entire, all 25 episodes with just...
Oh, is it? Sorry, I want to see some driftless going.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I thought you were like telling me to lower my mic or something. I was like,
no, sorry. No, your voice is great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But with just like all the witty one-liners, they would get you off guard.
Yeah.
It would break up every tension, every tense moment there was. And I loved it.
Yeah. And even with this anime trying to stay like super up to date on some like lingo and stuff like that, like, yep, it didn't feel forced. It felt natural enough. And like, so the way they've pulled some of that in was also kind of funny. I should have wrote down a lot more one-liners.
Like, the fact that the first mini-boss he runs into, he calls Poop Snake. There's no effort, just Poop Snake.
Yeah, I thought the introduction to SLF was great, too, because he's like, oh, yeah, I play games all the time. I'm going to pick this. I don't need to go through the intro level, the starter level. I felt that so hard because I'm like, every time there's a skip option for video games, I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Skip, whatever it's trying to give you the introduction, which is like, how fast can I get through this so I can get into the game so I can just start playing? I'll figure everything else out as I go, and it doesn't always end well, but I...
Right, because usually if you're a gamer to a certain degree, you kind of expect how games should go, and you just have to get a feeling for the game more than getting told how to play the game.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can understand why you might want to just skip everything to begin with. So, like, I don't need all this beginning lore, so let's just jump into the action. But back in the beginning, when talking about funny stuff, and Rokuro was making his character, he said, I'm actually going to take this serious for once. And he gives himself such a silly design. And, like, that's nothing to be serious about. But then there was a quick narration. Well, he was taking it serious with his stats because, like you were explaining, that probably missed was the luck and stuff like that is... He was trying to be strategic a little bit with this. Yes, he was having fun, but he was also thinking about it in a critical way, too.
Yeah.
Selling all his clothes for money and relying on his skills as a gamer to get through quicker. So that's why it was serious. And
yep.
It was just ironic and funny that he just looks silly.
It's just the hat. It's just the bird hat.
It's just the mask and the fact he's not wearing pants, shoes, shirt. Just kind of... What, overall shorts? They got, mm-hmm, suspenders. They're hanging down on the side.
Speaking of his clothing, so because of his curse that he's got, he's not allowed to wear clothes that covers his markings, right?
Yes.
How is he able to get away with wearing that ghost garb?
They talk about it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because, like, it still covers everything.
It depends in a video game sense where it equips to.
Yeah, right.
So he can, if it's technically one whole piece, which I don't think it is, I think it's a chest piece and it's a mask. Is it just one solid piece? Then I'm assuming it's a mask.
Yeah, it's a long mask.
Okay. Yes. And that's what I figured. Like, I have a feeling it equips to somewhere that doesn't touch either his torso or his legs.
So yeah, so if you remember, it's like three quarters down his arm because he can just so happen to wear the wristband.
Yep.
So it's three quarters down his arm all the way up, and then it's his whole chest, and it's like his it's his calves, I think, that have the mark. It may be like just below his shorts too.
Yeah.
So basically he can wear underwear and bracelets,
short pants.
Yes. Necklace and something on his head. So that's all he can wear. So basically wrists, shoes, which he doesn't wear shoes apparently, and his necklace just so happened to be able to wear that. So yeah, it's four things.
So minimal. So crazy.
Five, six things. Yeah. I did. Did you guys notice that he was wearing the bracelet all the whole time?
Yeah. It's just a lighter colored on his wrist.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The teleportation item inventory?
Yeah. The inventory bracelet.
Yeah. They made a small comment about how it like blends in with your body. So it's a permanent item and it's not a piece that you can take on and off. It's now 100% part of them. So yeah, it's part. It's like basically a tattoo.
Yep. So Lance, you had said that you wanted to put a pin in Lycanroc. What did you want to bring up?
Yeah, don't exactly remember exactly what I wanted to come forth from that conversation, but I think what I do remember is talking about Lycanroc and how we could imagine removing the curse off of Rockuro.
Okay.
So to me, it would feel a little weird to get the curse removed in Season 2 if it seems to be so important to holding Sunraku back and getting too OP too soon and everything. So how soon, I also kind of feel this to be like a end of the series kind of thing, is to defeat this wolf and then get everything back to normal. I don't know.
Okay.
Just like revenge fight.
Right. Okay. Now I remember the other part of my pin. The other part of my pin was, if you guys started this video game this early on and your character got cursed like this, would you still continue playing, or would you say fuck it and start over because you are still so new at this game?
Personally, if it's right at the beginning, like I'm restarting.
Yeah,
I'm restarting. You ain't screwing me over like that with some RNG and ruining the rest of my gaming experience.
What if you couldn't?
If you couldn't, then you obviously ain't got a choice.
So we're gonna assume you couldn't. Like
we'd have to. There'd have to be some reason that
Smurf accounts.
But like,
no, not a thing. It's literally a one time. Like one time go.
Like your headset is only programmed for one character. If you want a second character, you got to go buy a second headset kind of thing. Like a memory card, old school memory card kind of thing.
Yeah, basically everything's stored right there on your VR set. So you can't do anything.
You can't override and start over. Okay. Well, I guess that would have to be the only way to, if you could restart, fuck that. Getting cursed that early in the series, I'm making a whole new level. You're not backtracking that far.
But he is he loves trash games, so he has no issues with putting limitations on something. Because remember, he played that one game knowing it was the princess's fault the entire time.
Yep.
And had no issues with it, just so he could punch her in the face.
At the very end, yeah.
So
he didn't even punch her, he drop kicked her.
Yes, I laughed so hard.
It makes sense why he would continue.
Yes.
But personally, hell no.
Yeah, if I had the options, I would definitely go with no, I'm not going to continue. But if we didn't have the option, I wouldn't necessarily care, only because for the simple fact that really the only limitations are no weaker monsters, NPCs don't really talk to you, and you can't equip stuff over the curse. So let's be completely honest. Like, if you're doing Pokemon stuff, you're skipping all the lower monsters anyway. It's like when they fight you, you don't care. Like, it's nothing. So if you're not going to get anything out of it.
Especially in, like, today's Pokemon, because the game is so nerfed.
Yes.
To the lowest common denominator.
Yes.
Pokemon is so insanely easy now. Like, going back to, like, Red, Blue, and Yellow, you kind of had to grind a little bit.
In the beginning.
Yes. Or at least make sure you fight every battle. But the experience gain is still important, and in every video game today, grinding is important, especially for those games where you're like, you have to pay to win or whatever. So the point is, grinding is important, and you can't grind if everybody lower than you is running away from you. Because then you have to chase them, like we saw with that goat. You chase down that goat in order to attack them, and that can get super tedious.
But you just keep progressing forward, and you just flush through each subsection until they're weaker than you, and then you continue. So it's not really all that much different.
especially in his scenario, because he's a professional trash gamer, so he likes the challenge, so he has no problem facing new dangers, and that's why he's fighting all these super strong guys, and he's leveling up, no problem in addition to that.
Yep.
So in his case, it makes sense, but to the average gamer, if everybody lower than you is just running away and you're forced to fight people higher than you, it might be a deterrent to a lot of gamers.
Yes, but also most gamers wouldn't fight a Lycanroc in the beginning anyways.
Oh god, no. If I saw a Colossi at that early level, I'm running away as soon as possible. Even if I'm going to try to avoid death, that's for sure.
Tyler, would you try and fight a Lycanroc in the beginning?
The fight was amazing.
Yes.
I like the dark style.
Yes.
That's...
But I'm asking, if you were playing the game, would you try and fight Lycanroc?
Hell no. I'm running for my life. If I turn around and see a giant wolf that disappears when the sun moon disappears, I'm out because I know I'm losing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm doing a little research on Lycanroc's mark. Because I don't really see it as much as a nerf. Not for his build.
It's not a nerf.
It's not too much of a nerf other than...
Technically, it's a buff to him.
Especially in the final couple episodes where that miasma was avoiding him.
Like, yeah,
that's definitely a perk. But... the idea that you can't equip other equipment over the marking, so you can't boost your defense or anything like that. That
he was a glass cannon anyways. It's okay.
That's why it was okay for him. Talking to other computers that aren't going to help him out in story stuff. Again, for his character style, doesn't care because he's going to do whatever he wants anyway.
Except for Emil, which is weird. But yeah.
Yeah, because we can talk about that one.
Yeah.
Like how we...
Well,
the whole Rabbitusa... a special quest deal was never even fully explained to us. We can explain how it might have started.
Yep.
But we can talk about our theories on how to even unlock that secret quest or a secret unique scenario. That's what it was. But the other big con, kind of like what I was alluding to earlier, is just grinding.
Yep.
I would be the grinder because I like RPG games.
Yep.
And the only way to get better in those is spend 5 to 15 minutes just doing random battles and grinding it out, getting your money if your money drops are good.
But I'd be perfectly fine with same level characters, like just fighting same level characters the whole time while grinding.
There gonna be that too. It's time consuming. Either way, it's gonna be time consuming. Grinding's grinding. Nobody loves to do it. It's just how much time do you have to grind.
Yep.
So it's just gonna get harder and harder if the lower levels are dropping. So I don't know. It's
all about playstyle. And in Rokuro's case, it has no real effects, minus he has to walk around naked in a bird hat.
Well, he can change his hat.
But he won't.
No.
So supposedly from this wiki, he can wear armor over the markings, but it will destroy itself within 3 minutes.
That's going to be supposedly some future stuff then.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. Well, that'll be season 2. He'll try something. It might have to be the, what is the gear that he, I want to call it legendary gear, but it's not the legendary gear. It's the
stuff in his inventory.
Yeah. The inventory gear.
Yeah. There was another word for that, but yeah, that special high class.
It's like unique armor. I can't remember exactly what it was named.
Yeah. It would have to be something like that. I feel like that's the only stuff where it'd be like some sort of anime logic where it's like, oh, the level is higher than the level of the mark, so he can wear it, but it degrades because of this. And it's like, oh, okay, sure.
Could you imagine playing a game like this? Open world concept, MM or RPG, whatever it's called, mass, whatever, where there's a shit ton of people, and everybody is in one storyline, unlike a single player game where this storyline revolves around you. So we're playing a world where there's 7 Colossi, and there's going to be a group of people who are going to be the Colossi Hunters.
Yep.
And those people who kill them are going to level up insanely. They're going to get all the great items. And then people like Rokuro are going to get these potentials to get these suits and stuff. So there's going to be like kings upon kings of people who are going to just completely own this world. And they're talking about decades for how long this game should last. But what's your thoughts on being in a world where you're basically living in the real world where you're just that, like, you're living the bottom of the bottom and someone else is just so insanely OP. The fairness level, I guess what I'm getting at. What do you guys think about that concept?
I mean, it sucks because you got people who want to, like, in an aspect of a gamer, you try to join up, but then you got people who just spend all their time grinding. Like, for example, like real life gaming.
Yep.
You're busy all day. You can get out for 2 hours a night compared to the crackhead kid who's sitting at home playing for 13 hours a day. You're not going to be able to keep up with it no matter how much you enjoy the game.
Yep.
And it takes the fun out of it to a point, but I have a feeling with this, with the Colossi, because if you remember at the end of the episode that they said Weathermon should not have been one that died first.
He should, yeah, they said he was mid-game, possibly even end-game.
Exactly. So if he's a mid-game and they struggled, I have a feeling no matter how much OP stuff that they use, no matter the party size, there is going to be one that will absolutely destroy them at some point.
Well, I also think the Colossi nerf the characters so much that it doesn't matter what your skills are and all this other stuff. It's true, like, skills within the game. It's, you have to be good at the game. So whether you're, as long as you meet the minimum criteria, which in this case is level 50, and you're doing all that stuff, like, it doesn't matter if you spend 14 hours a day playing the game or if you spend 2 hours and it took you 3 months to get to that point.
Right.
Like,
you can't just out-level this monster. Your ability to play a video game is what's going to make you come out on top against Weathermon.
And I'm assuming all Colossi are going to be this way.
And to a degree, yeah. I think Lycanron, he appears to be like a basic, just high-leveled boss because he's coming and going, like you said, with the appearance of the moon. So as long as he's available to attack, that's when you attack him. So that's just one scenario.
I don't think they're all going to be level capped. Look at the difference between Lycanron and Weathermon. Weathermon is in his own area. Yep. Lycanron roams.
Yep.
I have a feeling they're not going to be level capped all the time.
But I think Lycanron, so say Lycanron would fight, I don't know, a horde of people. He's going to do his, like, cheating stuff at the end of the fight with Rokuro in the beginning. Like, he's going to base his attacks depending on the ability of the individuals.
And that's just, technically in a game sense, that's just coding. The more you fight, the harder you're going to fight at the start, try to wipe out as many as you can.
Yep.
But that's not it. That's with, like, Weathermon opening with Clear Skies. Mm-hmm. He's not going to, because he hasn't been pushed that far yet, because that's a phase 3 move.
Yep.
But with Lycanron, it's whole different, because they're two completely different style of fighting.
Yep.
Not even styles of fighting, but scenarios.
Yep.
Where one's a random encounter and one is a set encounter.
Yep. Do you think we're going to see him in season 2?
100%.
Well, with how it ended, we're going to see him at some point. I kind of want him, like, I want Sunraku to be just kind of roaming and he just pops up, bitch slaps him, and then just disappears.
That would be so goddamn funny. And he just sits there and freaks out. Like, it's almost like he's traveling in the middle of the night and it's almost daybreak. And then Lycanron just comes out of nowhere and gives him that one slap. And Rokuro has no chance to.
Lightning's
in. Like, I could see like a good, like, comedy move where he's like, oh, I can take the Lycanron now, pops up, kills him real quick, just disappears, and he goes, never mind. But I do have a feeling he'll be back. I mean, the season ended showing him on the rock.
Yes.
Do I think it's going to be the end of him next season? No.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to drag out for at least a couple seasons.
Okay.
Do you think at that point they're going to have a fight? Okay, well, first question, do you think they're going to fight?
I don't know if they're going to fight as much as they're probably going to spot him in the wild.
Okay. You think they're just going to figure out maybe his trigger?
Probably try to find out his trigger, but maybe, like, see him and he's just staring them down from, like, that cliff that he's sitting on, and they, like, try to approach and he just disappears. Like, I don't see a big fight because I don't really know what his story is at all. That's other true. Than he roams.
Yeah, we don't have a story yet.
So
there is no story behind him. Like, if you look at mythology, Fenrir, he has a story behind him. You know what he is. Lycanron's just, he's a wolf that roams. That's all it is. He's a shadow clone.
They did make two mentions of him. Because if you remember Setsuna, she makes mention of him. Because she's talking about how Rokuro has met, what is it, Cinderella and two more things.
Yeah, they're talking about Setsuna's past. How they reminded her of other characters.
Cinderella
and one other.
So it's, I'm thinking it's a Rokuro with his meeting with Lycanron and with Vash. So I think it's those two things along with having Emil, So I think Emil is the Cinderella.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so I think the other two is Lycagon and Vash. So I
Vash? What's Vash?
Vash is the king of Ravituza, the boss.
Oh,
Vash Scythe.
Yeah. Sorry. When you're
Vashisashu.
Vysash.
Vysash. There it is.
But he wants to get he wants to be called.
This is something I just thought of, but let me finish my other thought. So I think that is what she is mentioning. Mm-hmm. I also think that Vysash, this is something I just thought of, is a Colossi.
Yes.
Like an endgame boss.
Yeah. I think he's gonna be the last boss.
It makes sense. That thought did cross my mind and I was going back and forth on it. Like, because it appears that he's this unique scenario where he's going to help trigger other Colossi.
Yep.
But I guess it would make sense that he's walking everyone through a path only to lead to himself. Maybe he wouldn't be the final one, but I think he's definitely going to be one of the top ones.
Yeah, because I think they said there's two of them they don't know about.
There's four.
Four they don't know about? Okay.
Weathermon was the fifth. Weathermon was the fourth that they found out about. Okay. Because at the time when they were fighting Weathermon, only the Ashura Kai knew about Weathermon. The world did not yet.
Yep.
So there was three, which one was Lycagon, and we haven't met the other two yet. They've just been passing by name.
Yep.
And when Weathermon was defeated, they said, well, he wasn't one of the ones that were mentioned, so he was the fourth found. So there's still three more that we haven't been discovered yet.
Okay, yeah. So I think Vysash is one of them. I think he's going to be the last one. I think this whole scenario is the scenario to get him to essentially be like, yep, I'm the last Colossi. You have to defeat me to win the game.
Okay.
Literally building a friendship to literally play into a villain arc.
Yep.
That's going to lead to my next question. I like this idea of him being one of them. Do you think he's just going to be like an honorable, like a very kind-souled Colossi? Or do you think something inside of him is going to like tick and all of a sudden he's going to turn evil and then that's what's going to make him the true Colossi?
I feel like it would be Emil dying.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't think Emil's going to die, but I think he's going to be like the Yamamoto of the world. So basically he could obliterate the world if he wanted to.
But at the same time, I can see him also not being a Colossi, but being somebody that would accompany
Be like your him. Partner?
Exactly. Like kind of like how Emil is right now.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he was the Emil to the first Colossi or something like that, and that's how he knows all of them.
Because if you look at it this way, depending how game is coded, when you approach somebody, it shows their name. When you approach Class A, it says unique monster. And his is just mob boss Vysash. That's it. There was no unique monster to it. There was no other tag to it that could change. Because it could be game storyline progression.
Yep.
But as of right now, I can't see it just yet. But
it could definitely happen.
It could go that way.
So, yep. Of course, anything can always happen. It's anime logic.
Weird. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could go 50-50. I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said earlier, it was one of my first thoughts that he could be, but I would like him to stay on the side of the allies and just someone that helps progress all the story. And yeah.
Yeah. That would be something I'm going to have to look into. This is going to be manga specific, but I'm going to look back into when they're talking about the Colossi and see if they give us a picture of them and see if maybe I can blow that up.
Okay.
I don't think there was ever a snippet of the picture, like a dark outlines of any of the Colossi.
Okay.
Actually, I lied. There was. I remember when they were talking about the categorization of seven Colossi, it had all seven of them shadowed out.
Yeah. So.
All right. A deep dive.
Well, I'm going to dive into the manga. So, because I don't believe the internet. So, yeah, that is my theory on how the series is going to go. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Because it was in the manga. In the manga, sorry. All right. Do we want to pause for a second?
Sure.
Right. I fucking think you're right.
So we did some quick Google searching. We saw some shadows and some images from some manga panels. And there is stuff that appears to show that there might be a bunny in the background. So we'll kind of lean on one side or another. So whatever. You guys, if you want to do a deep dive into Google yourselves, go for it. Otherwise, at this point in time, nothing's for sure, so we can just speculate later, maybe into season 2 kind of talk. But
Yeah, because it looks like there is a Vorpal style Colossi. That's about all it gives you.
Yeah, it's all shadowed out. So whatever you want to think, whoever you think it is, it's really all that's to it.
It's like what Lance said. It looks like a boulder with ears.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. So putting that behind us, I think this will be a great opportunity to take a break.
Hey, Toasties. I'm Missy, here with my bestie, Johnsy.
Hey, y'all.
Do you like mind-blowing crime cases, spooky tales, and debating theories?
Well, what a clinky-dink, so do we. Grab your beverage and be a part of our Toasted Shenanigans on your favorite podcast app.
You can even send us a story or drink suggestion. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, or at ToastedShenanigans.com.
Hey, this is Tyler, one of the hosts of RangerCast. On our show, we talk about Power Rangers and other multi-unit spandex heroes. We've got news, reviews, interviews. We talk about the comics, the games, the toys, and all things more phenomenal. Find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or check us out at RangerCast.net. May the power protect you.
Now that we're back from our break, I think this would be a great time to talk about probably one of the biggest takeaways from this entire season, and that's going to be the Weathermon fight.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Because, I don't know, the first half of this series, the first core, there's a lot of fun, cutesy stuff going on. But then we got into core two, and we just got real hardcore into this Weathermon fight. Battling one of the Colossi, like we mentioned earlier, it took four full episodes in order to get through this guy. Matt, I know we were talking prior to even starting our recording. Did you feel this was too long of a series of episodes to flesh this out? Or do you think it was justified? Do you think it was too short? What are your thoughts on the length of this Weathermon fight?
I'm going to start it with this. I thought the fight was fantastic and probably one of the best fights of the year.
Oh, yeah.
It was an episode too long. Probably 10 minutes worth of an episode too long. I think they just elongated the fight too much. Now, if I were to watch it again with 10 less minutes and been like, yeah, actually, that feels very rushed, I might change my mind. But knowing the manga was 12 chapters, which isn't very much, and just feeling it after watching it twice, I felt like it was just a touch too long. Tyler, what about you?
To me, I felt it was perfect.
Okay.
I mean, from anybody who's listened to me, the last ones, I enjoy the longer fights because It builds into it more. You kind of get to see each person's different fighting style in it, and it kind of breaks down their thought process during the fight. Like, you look at Sunraku's moments where they were going to go res him, but Pensogon held...
Oikatsu?
Yeah, Pensogon held back Oikatsu to wait.
Yep.
Because she realized he tossed an orb to himself to figure out the timing.
Yep.
To be able to survive clear skies. And then you got Oikatsu's genius moment of tying himself to the horse's head and just going on a bucking ride for 10 minutes.
Upside down like a weird masochist.
Yeah, why would you have to put yourself upside down?
Because he got off on it.
Yeah, he got... Yeah, that was funny.
But I thought it was perfect. It gave time to show Oikatsu's and Pensogon's fighting styles And how their teamwork was able to play in with each other and how much trust they had in Sunraku to be able to handle a Colossi by himself.
Okay.
Because they noticed he was more built for that speed and to keep up with it. Also because he's a trash game lord and can keep up with those instant kill millisecond frame reactions.
Yep. Okay.
For the most part, I agree with Tyler. The length did feel justified enough to me.
Okay.
And that was more because it was a learning curve that we were watching real time. And that was Rokuro learning the attack patterns.
Yep.
And what we learned in the end was his new Vorpal weapons needed a certain time to elapse over in order for them to be used to begin with, which was the ultimate ending to Weathermon itself. So I wish they kind of would have alluded to that just a little sooner. Like, oh, I need my weapons to become useful, and they can't become fused useful until X amount of time goes by, or there needs to be a reason for them to be useful. Like, he said that at the end after it was already on his last revival, or his last self-revival, and it worked out that way. Because we learned in the end that Pentagon still had two revivals in her inventory.
Yep.
So
yeah, and they were the half-health revivals.
Oh, those are the half ones?
Yeah, they were a full out of the full revivals. She only had two half revivals left.
So either way, they still had two opportunities left. Could have saved Rokuro just a little bit. But the point was, he had a plan. Worked out perfectly for himself in the end. Anime logic. And we learned his thought process the entire way through. So it made sense to me. Yes, four episodes does seem like a long time. And in those four episodes, we got to learn more back history stuff too. So it was a little sporadic. So ultimately, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Do you guys think it's one of the best fights of the year?
Easily.
Okay.
I'd say it's going to probably be top five. I mean, it's...
Top five for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely top five. I'm thinking more like two or three, like top trophy-worthy fights of the year.
It definitely is, but... It is only April.
The year is just started. It is the beginning of the year.
Just started, and there is a lot coming out this year.
Yeah, that's fair to say. But
it is going to be a very hard fight to beat.
Yes. I think technically they considered this a part of the...
23.
Yeah, 23, because it was a winter. It came out in fall, so they consider it to be a part of 2023.
Their cycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair. Because I was going to say, I mean... We could consider Core 2 part of 24, yep. But if it's a continuous deal, it's still technically part of 23. 2023, I should make that clear for our listeners.
Yeah, it just depends. I consider it a part of 24 because it came out in 2024, so that's just kind of my thought process behind it. But yes, it definitely is fantastic.
But now we need to put that into categories of... Not to spoil anything about Solo Leveling, but the last two episodes were fantastic as far as battle sequences go.
Yep.
And then we can only imagine what to expect out of Demon Slayer.
Well, Frieren.
Frieren too.
The clone fight was just insane. I don't know if you guys have seen that far.
I think I'm still in like episode like 20.
I haven't seen any of it yet. But okay. I came across a post on an anime page that literally broke down the top fights of the year.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And the Frieren fight was in there.
Yep.
Weathermon was in there.
Yep.
And then there was another, the Solo Leveling. Two of the Solo Leveling fights were in there.
Okay.
The one against...
Igris.
The Hunter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The assassin guy. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I guess, yeah, it depends where you clarify it. Last year, it's... Easily top one, top two. This yep. year, I'd put it vaguely top five.
Okay.
Somewhere in there due to the fact of there's so many big animes coming out this year with new seasons.
Yep.
That this could look like a kid show compared to it. Like, it, you never know.
I still think, I think it'll hold up, but I know what you're saying. This one was very well done. So I am so happy for this, how well it turned out.
Mm.
Yeah, like you put comedy into it, you put the action and the thought process, you got to see how smart these guys are in a battle.
Yep.
Like, Oikatsu's smartness is a little weird, but then when you see Sunraku's smartness where his, in order to, what was the ability called? It was like Primal Surge or Primal something that boosted his stats.
The Wolf? Hunger thing?
I think so. I think it was Wolf Hunger. I can't remember the exact name, but he was just over the threshold to get it, so he stabbed himself with his sword to drop himself to the threshold
Be able to activate it. I was so happy that they made that work, because he was about to activate it, and then he realized that he's still at 30 out of 30 health, and he was
at 11 of 30, and he needs to be two-thirds.
He needed to be below two-thirds, and like, oh.
Yeah, he literally had one health more than what he needed to activate the threshold.
And then...
But of course, it's anime logic. Oh, the update that came out today allows me to do this.
And he just goes... Cuts his arm real quick, and he's like, all right, we're good.
No, he stabbed himself in the shoulder. Remember, he just... Oh,
you know how funny it would have been? He stabs himself in the shoulder, crits, and kills himself.
That would have been a little funny. But I guess it makes total sense, because we saw that they can hurt each other, and Rokuro made a couple comments about how he almost died, even though he's already on critical health and stuff like that. So
yep.
It makes perfect sense that we can make this a realistic game. You can hurt yourself and cause some damage that way.
And at the end of the at the end of it, just like we were talking about the revives, it doesn't matter what your HP is. You could be 1 or 10 billion. It's instant kill ability.
Yep.
You're going to die regardless of what your HP is. So as long as it's not at zero, you're full health technically. You look at it that way.
One small thing I was very surprised about is we've focused on his luck meter so much in this anime that I thought for sure at least one time he was going to luck out on one of these insta-kills.
So I didn't think that, but if you remember from the manga mentions, luck also pulls into crit attacks.
I suppose. So
that's why he pulls so much into his luck, is so that he can get criticals. Basically, every time he swings, he gets a critical attack.
And I don't think luck would account into not getting critical hit. Well, to get one shot, I think that'd be more along the lines of probably an evasive skill.
I only really say that because I'm pretty sure in the beginning of the season, when he was fighting the poop snake, he was able to survive because he blamed his luck on him being able to survive with one HP or something. He was supposed to die.
Well, no, he made it to the bed with one HP.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just meant, like, I remember at some point early in the season, he said that he survived because of his luck. I don't remember exactly. I can't pinpoint that something, but
I know what you're saying, that somewhere. He thinks that he survived because of his luck. But I don't think luck matters when an ability is an instant kill regardless.
I mean, that's fair,
too. Because it gets through armor. Like, if it touches you, you're dead. It does not matter if it even nicks your pinky toe. You're dead. Mm-hmm. So I don't think luck would have mattered about not getting instant killed, because that'd probably be, in that game sense, it'd be more of a bug than it would be in...
Which is probably why they bring up that game, the bug game.
I love when they went... At first, I was like, why would you go into other games? Let's just focus on this game. But after I re-listened to it, I'm like, you know what? I like that they pull away from it and then bring you back in. And then you can just go have some fun with a different game and bug out. It makes you question, like, this is a very real concept that people are going to go play a bugged out game just to test their luck on some BS matches and stuff like that.
And also in the beginning, we look at it like we see him just going into the game to release stress, but you don't realize that that game had a lot of like contribution to his skill in Shangri-La due to the fact that he could react to that fast of a buck.
Right.
It actually benefited him more than anything. That's why he initially went back again, was to to get used to that like millisecond reaction time to a bugged attack, because that's how fast Weathermon's going to be attacking.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I like how they tied everything in. They did a really good job. That everything was thought out really well. I feel like this anime was made by somebody who loves video games and is also very good at drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. One of the notes that I'm looking at right now was the Vorpal Soul Collar.
Yep.
The thing that he was given.
The choker that he had to wear.
It cut his experience in half, but it boosted his stats by 2.5. So, yes, early game would suck ass to lose out on that experience, but the stat boost you're getting technically is better.
Yep.
So, end game kind of an item would be insanely overpowered.
Yep.
So there's that middle ground where he's at, because he's in the beginning. And in his situation, he's screwed anyway because he can't grind properly.
Yep.
So it helped him out in some way. So I just thought this item was a very interesting idea. And I just want to bring the focus. Would you guys have any more thoughts on that?
It was good. It basically was just another test of how well are you going to use your Vorpal Soul and stick to these limitations that we're putting upon you. Like, that's all that was.
Yeah. And to take a step backwards, more of a step forward in how he got it removed with his the Colosseum fights.
Yep.
And that final battle with that wizard stump, that wizard tree, it was pretty cool.
The wood sorcerer.
He looked out. The character design of that guy, he was pretty fucking badass. I liked it a lot.
And the fact that he used the reference from the Wood Sorcerer fight to fight Weathermon. Yes, it backfired because he didn't realize he'd still get shit on without a sword.
Right.
But he learned from his that fight to try out something in that Weathermon fight because he was relying so much on that sword.
Right. And for our listeners, that was the removing his weapon.
The 800-pound sword. Yes. Yeah. One thing I noticed during our conversation, I do find it funny that you can take fall damage, but you can jump from like an infinite distance. Like you remember he, he slid down, but like the fall damage just made no sense. Or it, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
I can't think of a specific scene.
Yeah, I can't. I just think of
like in the beginning, he jumps out of a 15, 20 foot tree, lands on his feet and perfectly fine.
Yep. But then, you know, gets booted up by the mud shark.
The mud digger. Yeah, he's in my notes right here. I was just about to talk about him.
Yeah, that mud shark was funny.
That was an interesting concept to the idea of early game kind of bosses. And it was really fun to show that he's a speed character and is literally his worst kind of enemy.
For the second monster, yeah.
Yeah, so he can't solo this. And then we end up beating the mud digger kind of like on a fluke because...
defied physics. Because
the bunny just teleported him to a different spot, doubled his fall,
It's not that it, like the teleportation doubled it. That's kind of what I meant by like defied physics, because something falling is going to reach a max velocity, but his kept gaining, and that's what ended up killing it because he was almost at the ground. Emil pulled him back up to the top, so he started falling in and gained more in.
Like, right, that's what I'm saying.
I can't remember what they called it.
He went through a wormhole. He just fell through a hole and then just continued in a different location. That's all. He just continued falling. No difference.
And just headbutted the mud digger to death.
Oh, was that the instance when his luck kept him alive because he still fell and then he killed him with one? You know what?
I don't think it was the luck. It was he acknowledged Emil for it.
Yep.
Because if Emil didn't teleport him, he would have died.
Right. But it was still an accident.
It was 100%.
The win was an accident because...
It was, because he was just falling. That's all he was able to do. And that entire fight was won by Emil.
Yeah.
Because of his severe disability of being in something that he can't lift one foot until the other foot's on the ground, which limits him as a speed character.
So this is kind of something I just thought of. So they make mention that the mud shark, you're not supposed to be able to solo, and basically it nerfs you from soloing. But then Oketsu was able to solo it.
I suppose Oketsu was soloing his whole way up.
Yeah.
But I guess Oketsu wasn't a speedster, so maybe he was able to defend against the launching mechanism at the end.
Basically, they make mention how the shark will just flip you every single time you hit the ground.
Right, because he's known as a solo level killer.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you look when it went to Oiketsu, he wasn't in the mud. He stayed up on the rocks away from the mud.
So how did he beat him then?
He's going to attack him regardless of where he is. And I'm pretty sure Oiketsu's got... No, because he's a monk, so he's more of a brawler.
Yeah. Well, he does have the whip, but yeah.
What's he going to do, whip a shark to death? I don't know.
Jump and then ground attack. I don't know. Just
it's in the mud. So, yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, maybe when he surfaces, he can kind of... he's a pro gamer. Probably could time it, jump up, hit him, and pop back to land real quick.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. That was just something I
thought. We only saw it dead and him standing on the side of a rock. We didn't really get any clarification of what he did to beat him.
And him saying, I thought Rokuro said this was hard. This is easy. Yeah, I'm very curious. I am curious if we're going to see more of... Well, I know we're going to see more of Pencilgon and Oiketsu, but like, what exactly do you think they're going to move forward with? Because they created the clan. Are the three of them just going to kind of be buddy-buddy and share information, and that's what their clan is going to be?
They are Klaasai hunters.
Well, yes.
And from the one tip that Setsuna gave... was to find Bahamut.
Yeah, yes. I was about to bring that up in a reminder.
Yep, so I have a feeling that's might be what the next season is based on, is finding Bahamut to find more of truth.
Okay.
But only thing is where are they going to start? Because I can guarantee you the first person to hear about Bahamut, and that's only info they have, is find him.
They make mention in it with Ravatusa, because I think Emil talks about how it is in the area by... where Vash says to go look for the certain objects.
Because they're going to that area to be able to...
Increase
Belok's blacksmithing.
Yes.
And where they're going to increase the blacksmithing is where...
Vash told
him. It's by Vash's Vorpal Epic Quest.
That's what it is. Okay, I was getting quests
mixed up. Which might just be where Bahamut is.
It would make sense. It just happened
to be in the same place. But yeah, as far as we know about Bahamut is that they just need to find him.
Yep. Okay.
That's all we know, unless there's more in the manga than we know about on it.
No. At least not at this moment. So we haven't really talked about the last part, the second part of Court 2, which is like the fight with the Headless Horseman. We haven't really talked about the scorpion fights, minus the jumping in and out of his bracelet space.
Yeah, so going back to the Headless Horseman, what do they call him? Like a doula god, doula something? The Headless Horseman, that was an interesting one, where he was avoiding all the miasma because of his curse.
Yep.
Just so happened to show usefulness out of this curse, so that was really cool. And we got a supposed good item out of this that Belloc says that she can reverse and turn back into something useful. So I'm looking forward to that weapon coming back into the future.
Oh, yeah, the trike, because it never broke.
Right.
Correct.
That's right.
It's just rusted and old.
It was one swing away from breaking completely.
Oh, is that what it said?
Yep, because he had... I can't remember what the witch was that he fought, the phantasmal, to know exactly what it is. But the witch I was able to break up into five total. Mm-hmm. When Belloc gave him the sword, she was able to kind of do a quick job on it because they were out in the field. And she said that he has six swings before it breaks, but there's five of them. So he had to kill each one in one swing to be able to preserve the sword. Yep. And he was able to save the sword.
Okay. So there's still a chance for it to come back into his former glory.
I think it's going to get upgraded.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would make sense if that's the weapon that gets like the evolution. Because why would you introduce a kind of unique weapon to never see it again?
Right. Because even that weird sword that Rockro picked up after Pencilgon's brother got defeated, that evil-looking sword, even that got used in the next couple episodes. So I like that they keep making use out of all this stuff.
Yeah, I agree. No, it makes complete sense. And then I'm very curious what they're going to make with all of the scorpion parts, minus the stinger, because he couldn't get it.
Yeah. I wonder if... Because they did make mention that all of these scorpion parts are basically only going to be used as accessories. So that makes me wonder if the
scorpion parts are used for weapons. The jewels that they found are only going to be able to use for accessories.
Oh, I must.
The jewels and crystals that they found are only accessories. The scorpion parts they can make into weapons.
Oh, okay. Now, I was about to say, like, is the scorpion stinger going to be the only true weapon piece? I would like to see him do like some quick. I'm very surprised they didn't do like a time skip thing and he just went back and got it anyway, because it's just going to be time on Rokuro's part to go get it, because he knows the method to do it. It's just going to be a matter of getting it done.
Yep. And then the other character we really need to talk about is the cat that we meet at the very end.
Aramis.
Aramis, is that what it's called?
Yep, Aramis. Aramis.
Oh, this character, she doesn't even have it.
Nope. I know, I had to dig through like seven of them to find it.
Is it Katuza? Is that where he's out of?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So it'd be very interesting. Another thing that they mention, which is why I think they're going to get rid of the Lycagon mark, so basically defeat the Lycagon sooner, is Rokuro / Sunraku has already made a name for himself within the world of the NPCs, that he no longer needs the mark to put him in the unique scenarios. So that's why I don't know if they're going to defeat Lycagon.
It needs to get overruled, because we can argue whether, like we talked about earlier, with those armors going over the curse itself, like will they just override it, or will the curse itself not allow them to put on those armors? So it can go
either way. Yeah, there is another way to remove the curse that they talked about.
Oh, yeah.
By a high priest or something like that.
That's very true.
Yes.
I can see them doing that route.
No, I think they're going to defeat Lycagon.
You want the defeating route?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the only way that Sunraku will let himself do it.
Yeah, he won't he go to a high
priest. With how determined he is, especially after the scorpion scene, I think that's going to be the only way he will allow himself to get rid of it, because since they see the marks that he was deemed worthy by the Lycagon, that he wants to remove it by defeating the person who found him worthy.
That makes more sense.
And
it's a cheap way out if he just go get him removed. Yeah.
Well, that and he keeps spending his money at the skill garden. He keeps spending all of his money. So, you know, he's not going to grind to make money. Because every time he does, he's like, oh, yeah, what about these skills and this grimoire? And I have, was it like 50 money or something like that?
Yeah, like next to no monies.
So, yeah, he can't save his money.
Yeah, he's glass cannon all the way. He's all or nothing.
Yep. I guess, what'd you think of that concept where he has to, like, drink the potions to learn the skills?
To be honest, I thought he was going to have to deep throat the twig.
I thought it was funny. I mean, if you think about it, technically it's useless because there's no taste buds. And you, what's the point? Is you're just going to slam it anyways. It's a video game.
Yep.
Although now I'm wondering, I feel like I'm mixing anime right now, but was there a moment where if you did something, your taste buds in the game could be enhanced? I think I might be mixing anime right now.
I think you are, because I don't remember anything.
I'm pretty sure that's SAO, where you, like, the more you eat something, or the
something
more you
make... Something more recent than SAO.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, we're just going to put it, it's another anime.
I'm so about Aramis, I literally cannot find anything about him online.
The cat Tusa.
I've typed in cat Tusa, cat Sith. I've typed in his name. Nothing pops up.
Yeah. All we know is that he's got a big crush on Belloc. And
he is stronger than Belloc.
Yep.
Correct.
So he's going to be definitely useful in the next season because he's going to lead us to some location.
It's not that he's leading them. It's the fact that he's not taking no of going with to protect her. As an answer.
Oh, that's how it worked out?
Yeah.
Okay. Katsuriya, by the way.
Oh, okay. Not Katsuriya. That's Rabbituza and Katsuriya.
Katsuriya. Czeria.
Okay. Yes,
Katsuriya.
Yeah, we've got plenty to look forward to him because he's such a new character. We don't know anything about him. Boil the next
there's time. There's a lot because you look at it when Aramis found out who Sunraku was and found out he was the one that defeated Lycagon. He wanted to test his reflexes to find out if he really is all that.
Right.
And Sunraku barely dodged it, but was able to sense he put nothing behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Sunraku was able to sense he did not put a lot behind that strike.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Please excuse this quick interruption. We had a small corruption in a file that we lost a couple minutes of. We really didn't talk too much about the cat conversation too much longer, and then we started talking about kind of what we expect out of next season and how many seasons in general this might just be. So without further ado, kind of gonna just throw you in the middle of a conversation.
So it'll be very interesting if they follow suit. Because if that's the case, I could see this being 6 or 7 seasons, if it stays popular enough to make 6 or 7 seasons.
I could see it staying popular if they, one, don't space the big fights too far from each other, but don't space them too close to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it might be one of those things where you could have the last two are back-to-back or together. You might have a dual Colossi fight, and that's how you can get rid of a couple at the same time while still making it very visually appealing.
To be interesting.
Yeah.
It's hard as we get further and further into technology to keep all of our stupid interest at max peak as we go through season by season. It's just going to get harder and harder, so I gotta wonder if it's going to be good in the end.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it stays just as fantastic because this was so good. And I think that's really all I got as far as SLF is concerned. Absolutely fantastic. I love this series. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even done with it, and I recommended it to 3 people already. Nice. All I saw was the first 2 episodes of the Weathermon fight, and I was like, y'all need to watch this.
Definitely on everybody's must-watch list, especially if you're a shonen kind of guy or girl. It's just great. And the comedy's there, too, to fill in any kind of spaces that might be missing for you. It's an all-rounder.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Lance, as you had mentioned earlier, you had a little quiz for us. I'm very curious about this.
Sure, yeah. There's something random I wanted to just share with everybody.
I'm going
to
answer them all now. Pikachu.
God damn it. All right. Well, thanks for joining, everybody. No. So I remember playing Pokemon Gen 1 and going through Blaine's gym, and Blaine's gym had a little quiz in between everybody's fight. So,
oh, yeah, I remember those.
So let's just peek everybody's memory and see if you can answer all these questions so everyone at home can play along too.
If we get it wrong, do we have to fight somebody?
Technically, yeah.
I'll swing at you.
God damn. All right, so question one. I think this is coming from Pokemon Red.
Should I like hit like a fake buzzer, or do we just shout the answer first?
These are yes or no questions, I think. All of them are. So both of you can give thumbs up, thumbs down, or you can say it out loud, whatever you want.
Well, this is a audio-based...
Yeah, good point. So yeah, we'll just see how you guys feel in the moment.
All right.
Question one. Caterpie evolves into Butterfree, yes or no?
See, it's a trick question because it doesn't directly evolve into it, so I'm going to say no, but yes.
No, because it evolves into Metapod, but...
Then to Butterfree. Metapod. That's why it's like it's a trick question. I get it's a simplistic game.
Yo! Load faster.
The suspense on his face had me going.
I know, right?
Okay. Caterpie evolves into Butterfree. They said no. And then... He says, sorry, pal, right. I was a thief. And then he goes and battles him. So, yeah, it was a stupid trick question in the video game because eventually evolves into Butterfree.
Yes, Caterpie does evolve into Butterfree, but no, it doesn't directly evolve.
Exactly.
It's a trick question because either answer is right and wrong.
God, that's such bullshit. I would have been with you guys on that the entire time. Like, what are you even talking about? All right, question two. Oh, okay, according to this video, he just went for the battle. He didn't even go for the question. All right. There are 9 certified Pokemon League badges. Oh, geez. That's so easy.
No.
Oh. Are you asking us the original questions?
Yeah. These are the original questions from the Pokemon game itself. All right. This one. Poliwag evolves 3 times.
In the original game? No.
He evolves twice. In the new games, it's still no, because Poliwag is technically a second evolve form from the baby.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Yeah, it's possible to evolve 3 times. But yeah, the answer was no.
Thank you. How many more questions we got?
I think 2 more.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this one says, are thunder moves effective against ground elements?
No.
Ground, yes.
Right, yes, it's rock that they're not.
Yes.
Oh, but this game says no.
What?
I think that did eventually get updated. I think you can use electric type moves on ground type, not rock type. Yeah. But according to Pokemon Red, ground type.
I haven't played Red since I was like 8 years old, and that was 22 years ago.
Yeah, right. Bullshit. I call lies.
So I was right, then wrong. These are some bullshit questions.
Right.
All right. Final question. Pokemon of the same kind and level are not identical.
Okay. I mean, in Red, I'm going to go with no.
The same kind?
So they're saying if it was 2 Pikachus at level 20, it would be it would not be identical?
Yeah. Pokemon of the same kind and level are not identical.
Yes.
Yeah.
One could be a male, one could be a female. That's not identical.
Well, in Red, there's no male and female.
Yeah, in Red, I'm going to go with no.
So, according to this, they're choosing no, and you are absolutely correct. So, that's going to wrap up our Pokemon quiz today. I know that not everybody can relate to Pokemon Red, Blue, and even Yellow, and these questions actually kind of sucked. They're not really specific enough, or they're too specific. I don't know. Blaine was trying to just get some stupid questions out in the way. But this is going to wrap up our episode for today. Hope everyone got a pleasant interaction with this Pokemon quiz. I would like to continue doing more Pokemon quizzes, and I will do a much better job creating them. In fact, I want to make my own. I'm not going to take them from the Pokemon game themselves, because clearly not that good. But like I said, that's going to wrap up our episode. Thank you everybody for listening today. If you liked us, please leave us a rating, because that helps us a lot. Also, make sure to check out our other content on YouTube, where we cover hot new anime with our Short Flight series. And also check out the anime show on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on everything anime related, because they post anime news every single day. And until then, we'll catch you guys next time.